vanmorgen met deze tekst. Liefde nodig met een vraagteken. Het is een bijzonder verhaal, beste kijkers van Hour of Power. Want in de afgelopen weken heeft deze billboard, zoals dat heet, een enorme tekst op een groot aantal stations van de Nederlandse spoorwegen gehangen. En daar hangt er voorlopig nog even. 11 mei is de actie afgelopen. En we zijn erg blij met deze actie. Want als je leest liefde nodig, dan denk je, ja, wat wordt ermee bedoeld? Bijna dubbele bodem. Het gaat er ons om dat mensen ontdekken, en dat gebeurt ook. We hebben dat gehoord en teruggehoord. Dat mensen ontdekken dat als je liefde nodig hebt, dat je bij de schepper van de liefde terecht moet komen. En dat is God. En we vinden het geweldig dat er zo'n mooie respons is. Dus ja, deze ansichtkaarten zijn er ook van deze actie. Honderdduizenden hebben het iedere dag gezien op de stations, maar misschien u niet. Deze ansichtkaarten kun je zo bij ons aanvragen en sturen we graag gratis toe. Nou, dan gaan we eens kijken wat er vandaag in Hour of Power zit. Bijzondere toespraak van dominee Schuller over het feit dat als je een zaadje plant, dat er geweldige dingen kunnen gebeuren. Veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, helemaal uit Amerika. Barbara Marshall, Nederland geboren, ze emigreerde 20 jaar geleden naar Amerika. Heeft bulimia gehad, een ernstige eetstoornis, praat daarover. En zo hebben we een hele boeiende en inspirerende uitzending van Hour of Power. Heel hartelijk welkom.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
You're here because maybe you had a fabulous weekend here to celebrate, you know? Some people who are here because of that. Some of you may be here today because you're really going through a tough time. And, you know, I've got to go to church to get out of this funk. Some of you may be here today because it's just the routine. It's what you do. And some of you may be here because, well, I saw the heel marks in the parking lot. Your wife dragged you in here, you know? But the good news is the reason you're here is because God wanted you here. That's the real reason. And the truth is that today, God's going to speak to you in a special way. He has words he wants you to hear, ideas he wants you to listen to, and thoughts he wants you to respond to. So that's why we're here. We're here to be connected spiritually with God, and at the same time, horizontally with God's people. Reach out to those who are standing next to you and behind you and say, God loves you and I do too. Would you please join me? I want to have a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. We thank you for the privilege of being here, for the privilege of being connected with your people, with the person on our right and our left and around us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities we have to be touched in a powerful way with your word, with your message. And so continue to speak to us, O Lord, as we realize that with you we can do all things. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
seated. Listen to these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his child asks for bread, would give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, would give them a snake? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do, do unto others what you would have them do to you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. This is the word of the Lord.
My guest today is a young man who is known as one of the experts of positive thinking, actually a best-selling author, and has been featured on the Today Show. And even though for years he could give a stunning lecture on positivity, he had not found his true source of joy, Jesus Christ. Now, all that changed when he began a dialogue with a dear friend of this ministry and a dear friend of his, a minister by the name of Erwin McManus. And today, John is here to share his incredible testimony and story of how he discovered who Jesus is and invited him into his heart. Would you please welcome to the Christ Cathedral, John Gordon. John, God loves you, and I do too.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here.
Where do we start? Do you start where in childhood? What was it like as a child for you?
I think that's a big part of my journey, so it is important to talk about that. I grew up in a Jewish Italian family. A lot of food, a lot of guilt, and
a lot of pasta.
A lot of pasta. I'm gonna write a book one day. I say spaghetti and matzo balls, but
there you go.
You know, loving family, but not very religious. I was bar mitzvahed, but it was a crash course bar mitzvah. It wasn't a very spiritual event in my mind. So we never went to church. We never went to temple. And as I got older, I always felt a connection to God, but it wasn't religious for me. And so then I didn't go to church as an adult. So I was still seeking God. So I started to look for God in other places. And I started to read material like various New Age authors, spiritual authors at the time, and that really started to take me on a journey of spirituality, seeking God, but not really finding Him yet.
So you started seeking, and where did the journey lead you?
It led me first to positive thinking. You know, about 7 years ago, my wife came up to me, and she said, "You're miserable, you're negative, and you're controlling, and if you don't change, you know, something drastic is going to happen." And I knew what that was, and I didn't want that to happen. So I knew I needed to change right then and there. I begged her to stay, and she agreed to stay, and I agreed to change. And as St. Francis of Assisi said, it's no use walking anywhere to preach unless you're preaching as you're walking. And so I started to do a lot of research in positive psychology, neuroscience, gratitude and happiness. And I realized that I was so disappointed about where I was that I stopped being optimistic about where I was going. I had allowed all that negative thinking, all that fear and that stress to consume me and to take control of my life. And I knew I had a choice between two roads, the positive road or the negative road. And the positive road leads to success and joy and happiness. And the negative road, we know where that leads. And so I decided to take the positive road. And so I started to do it in my own life, started to teach others with it. But as we know, it only gets you to a certain point. It's only as good as yourself, because positive thinking is about yourself and being positive. There's more, as we know.
It's a human teaching.
Right. It's a good human teaching.
Some very good, basic, fundamental principles.
Yes.
But it's not the whole teaching.
No, it's not all the teaching.
What's the rest of the teaching?
Well, that's where my journey took me. I wrote two books and had a lot of success, was on the Today Show. But then my career stalled. The books stalled. And everything in my life started to just stall. I felt unfulfilled in that pain and that burden came back, and a lot of the old issues came back, and I started seeking again. I started to believe that there was something more, and a good friend of mine, Daniel Decker, gave me an Irwin McManus CD from a sermon he gave. I listened to it. Jesus came to life for me when I listened to that. I listened to a Rob Bell sermon.
What did you hear?
He talked about why he followed Jesus. He talked about the Jesus of love. See, I grew up with an understanding that the church was hypocritical and judgmental, and that Jesus had these teachings, but a lot of times the church didn't follow them. So I didn't want to be part of a church, but he said, "Don't let that keep you from Jesus."
Yeah, good word.
Don't let that keep you from Jesus. And so I started to ask, what is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And I started driving down the road one day and saw a sign that says, "Jesus is the answer," on my way to Orlando. It happened two more times. Same exact moment, I'd be looking one way, I would turn and see the sign. I would meditate. I was a big meditator. I practiced Buddhism for a while and would meditate, but I started seeing a glowing cross when I meditated. So God was calling me to Him.
And what was the final crux that made the crowning moment, in effect, which really changed your life?
Yeah, a Buddhist energy healer. Not the way many people find Christ, a Buddhist energy healer, but I went to go see him to get some work done. He sort of does like an acupuncture kind of technique that helps clear energy. And I said, "You know, I'm seeing all these signs. There has to be something to this Jesus. What's going on?" He said, "John, it was set up that way." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "As a Buddhist, you can spend all your time trying to attain enlightenment. You could meditate and you can do all those techniques." He said, with Jesus, if you just accept him and receive him, you're there." And when he said that, it made sense to me. I said, "But can I help people take their burdens away?" He said, "No." He goes, "Can you handle your own?" He said, "Jesus takes your burden." He said, "Jesus takes your soul pain." And I found out later he actually was a Christian, grew up a Christian. He was now a Buddhist because he really wanted to see if he could get to God that way. And since then, I've actually been trying to minister to him. But that one conversation is what I needed to hear. And once I heard that, I said, "That's it." I said, "I'm going to devote my life to Jesus." And I became a follower of Jesus right after that.
What impact did it have in your life? How did it change your life?
It changed my life completely. It changed my own life, my career.
In what way?
My family, my kids. Well, living with more purpose and joy and positive energy. And it's just had a significant impact on the work they do. Because I realized that, you know, when I first became a Christian, I said, maybe I should go to seminary. But God said, no, we have great people for that already. You know, you don't need to do that. And I realized, no, he's using people like me and others to bring this message to corporate America, to schools, because God wants to redeem everything. Not just, you know, people who come to a church, yes, but people that are out there. Paul found Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
So maybe I could be one of those people to help people out there. And so that's how it's changed my life. I know what my purpose is now. I know what I'm here to do. And it's amazing that positive energy, which I know where it comes from, that joy, that love that flows through me right now, that Holy Spirit, it's just so much different. It's just so much different. And now I've got my wife and kids on the bus, and we're all going to church, and it's just been a great experience as a family, too.
Well, let me ask a question. This thing started because your wife said you're negative, what was the list? You were negative,
miserable,
and controlling. And if you don't change, you're out of here, dude.
You're off the bus.
You're off the bus. How has that affected your marriage?
We have a phenomenal marriage now. It has worked. God's been working through us and our marriage, and it's just been amazing. And it's amazing how the worst event in your life, when she was about to leave, could often become a catalyst for your best. But I would have to say that that's what happened. And I'm glad she took that stand with me. I'm glad God used her in that way. And I'm glad that I have the past that I had with the New Age past. People often criticize me for that. But I'm actually glad that happened, because an important point is that God will use everyone in your life, everyone, to bring you closer to him. And he used Erwin. He used your dad. One day when I was searching and seeking, I turned on the TV. There was your dad speaking. I listened. Happened a week later, turned on the TV again. There's your dad again. I'm like, it wasn't even set on that channel. And so he used all these people to bring me to him.
Well, One of the things that helps you is being able to distinguish between a positive Christianity and New Age.
Right.
And I think you've done some writing on that now.
Yes, I have, and it's something that I, with my past and my experience now, I really think I could speak to in that. You know, the New Age Christ is their view of Jesus is a great teacher, a messenger, a prophet. They believe in the Christ consciousness. But a great analogy is, if you're in a ditch, they would say that Jesus' purpose is to give you instructions on how to get out of the ditch. He's a teacher. What we believe, as you know, is we're in the ditch, but Jesus is right there with us, helping us get out. He didn't just come to teach us. He came to be with us, to love us, to die for us, and to save us. And I believe that with all my heart.
And he saved you.
He saved me.
And he saved me.
And if he can save me, I believe he can save anyone.
Well, John, we want to thank you for
so much.
For sharing with us how God touched you and called you and brought you through a Buddhist into Jesus Christ's light.
Yes.
God loves you, and so do we, John.
Thank you.
Go with him.
Hij had zijn optimisme het spat van de buis af. En één uitspraak vond ik heel mooi. Als God mij kan redden, kan die iedereen redden. Nou, dat is een prachtige uitspraak. Uit hetzelfde land en uit dezelfde staat waarin de Crystal Cathedral staat, komt Barbara Marshall. En zij woont in de buurt van San Francisco en is vanmorgen onze gast. Barbara, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Wat leuk, jij volgt Hour of Power op internet, helemaal in het verre Amerika. Onze Nederlandse uitzendingen.
Ja.
Zijn veel beter dan Amerika, hè?
Nee, ja.
Nee. Jij bent Nederlandse, maar je bent hoe lang geleden naar Amerika gegaan?
20 jaar terug ben ik naar Amerika gegaan als een au pair.
En je spreekt nog zo fantastisch Nederlands.
Ik probeer het wel, ja.
Ja. En nu je weer terug bent in dit mooie land?
Ik geniet van elke seconde. Vooral de Nederlandse koffie.
Ja?
En de gezelligheid met het koffiedrinken. Ja, het is echt heerlijk om thuis te zijn.
Dat kennen jullie in Amerika niet, hè? Alles is vlug, vlug.
Ja, alles is heel snel. Er is geen koffietijd.
En de koffie is niet om te drinken, moet
nee.
ik zeggen.
Oh, vooral de tijd dat ze het laten staan.
Ja.
20 minuten is aan de korte kant voor hun. 2-3 uur is meer normaal.
Ja. Je bent uit Nederland weggegaan. Je bent au pair geworden in Amerika. Maar daar is ook eigenlijk een stuk van je ellende begonnen. Want je hebt 17 jaar lang bulimia gehad.
Ja.
Een eetstoornis.
Ja, dat klopt. Dat etensprobleem is al begonnen dat ik een jaar of 17 was.
Ja.
En dat werd mijn beste vriend, waar ik ook maar naartoe ging. Ik nam het
even
altijd
voor
mee.
De kijkers mogen het eigenlijk niet weten, maar we kennen elkaar vanuit zo lang geleden, 24 jaar geleden, toen ik een Israëlreis leidde.
Ja.
Als jongetje.
Mm-hmm.
Ja.
We waren er met 50 jongeren. We begonnen in Jeruzalem.
Ja. Maar had je toen al last van bulimia?
Dat ik 17 was, ja.
Ja.
Toen is dat begonnen.
En wat is dat eigenlijk?
Het eetprobleem is als je zoveel angst hebt of problemen hebt dat je in controle wil zijn over je eigen leven. En het leven niet echt meer aan kan. Dat je gaat iets zoeken wat jij denkt dat je kracht gaat geven. Dus elke keer dat er iets begon in mijn leven, ben ik echt naar dat etensprobleem gegaan. En heb ik echt die bulimia gebruikt. En dat gaf een soort gevoel van bevrijding. Maar het was het niet echt. Want de langer ik het volhield met dat etensprobleem, de moeilijker het werd. En vooral na 17 jaar met zoveel gezondheidsproblemen.
Want je gaat overgeven, je wilt niet eten. Mm. Als je eet, dan ga je even later weer het uitgooien.
Ja.
Maar heel veel meisjes lijden daaronder, ook in Nederland.
Ja, heel veel. We voelen ons niet goed genoeg en we zijn niet dun genoeg. En we willen ons mooier voelen en we denken de slanker we zijn, de dunner we zijn, dat beter is.
Ja. Maar met bulimia ben je wel getrouwd.
Ja.
3 kinderen gekregen.
Ja. En toen, na 3 kinderen, 7 jaar later, zijn we eigenlijk gescheiden. En in die scheiding, in die tijd is dat etensprobleem heel zwaar en heel sterk geworden. Dat is toen dat probleem helemaal echt naar boven kwam.
Ja. Je bent gescheiden?
Ja.
Maar met dezelfde man weer getrouwd?
Ja, 2 jaar later ben ik met hem opnieuw getrouwd. Op 1 dag dat ik echt God begon te kennen met die tijd en echt een relatie met hem begon te bouwen, ben ik een dag op mijn knieën gegaan en ik heb gezegd, God, ik wil niet terug.
Ja.
Maar als u echt wil dat ik terug wil, dan maakt u maar dat ik met hem verliefd word, want anders doe ik het niet.
Nee.
En binnen een half jaar waren we getrouwd.
Ja. Maar hij werd ook weer verliefd op jou natuurlijk.
Oh, hij is altijd verliefd op mij geweest.
Oh, jij was de boosdoener.
Ik was de boosdoener.
Ah, okay.
Ja.
Sinds een paar jaar ben je, wat ze zo mooi in Amerika zeggen, een motivational speaker. Dus een inspirerende spreker. Je spreekt op allerlei vrouwenconferenties en grote bijeenkomsten. Wat is je boodschap?
Nadat ik opgroeide, had ik altijd een angst van God. En ik was altijd bang van God. Vooral met de bulimia ook.
Ja.
Maar dat ik naar Amerika kwam, toen ben ik mijn eigen meer gaan leren kennen. En ik zag dat de mensen daar voor mij toen een relatie hadden met God die niet zozeer angstig was. En dat wou ik heel graag. En toen in die tijd dat ik hertrouwde, heb ik echt tot God gevraagd, ik wil heel dicht bij je komen. Hoe doe ik dat? Geef me een honger voor je Bijbel. En help me om dat te begrijpen. En ik ben er nog veel passie erover gekregen. En in die tijd heb ik gewild, wat ik heb geleerd, dat andere mensen dat ook kunnen ervaren. Dus God heeft mij gegeven wat ik aan iedere andere persoon wil geven, om echt hem te leren kennen op een manier dat je vrij kan leven en genieten kan van het leven met blijdschap en met de liefde die hij voor ons heeft.
Ja, dan ga ik even een kritische vraag stellen. Mm-hmm. Je kunt niet elke dag blij zijn en je kunt niet elke dag genieten, of wel?
Tuurlijk kan dat wel. Ook als er moeilijke dingen zijn in het leven. Als je weet dat God echt bij je staat, ook als het niet altijd makkelijk is, dan kan je blij zijn voor wat je hebt. En dankbaar daarvoor zijn.
Ja.
Zelfs in moeilijke situaties.
Maar hoe doe je dat dan?
Nou, ten eerste, als er iets gebeurt met een crisis of een probleem, dan ben je gefrustreerd. En meestal bel je als vrouw, meestal eerst een vriendin.
Ja.
En dat helpt niet heel veel. En dan op een gegeven moment ga je naar God. En je gaat de Bijbel lezen. En dan krijg je zoveel bemoediging daarvan. Dan weet je toch dat je echt weer helemaal door kan gaan. En dat het leven om kan draaien. Want je gaat zien wat God al heeft gedaan in jouw leven. En dan weet je dat hij dat ook weer in de toekomst kan doen.
Dat is mooi.
Ja, is geweldig.
Ja.
Is absoluut geweldig.
Je ouders wonen in Medemblik, maar die kijken elke zondag.
Elke zondag kijken ze om 9:00 morgens. Het is de enige dienst dat mijn vader trouw kijkt elke week. En hij geniet ontzettend veel van de muziek vooral en ook van de preken.
Je komt wel eens in de Christelijke Cathedral.
Ja, ik ben er afgelopen zomer geweest. Het was heel indrukwekkend.
Ja.
En het was ook geweldig om er te zijn en om het echt te zien wat er gaande was daar allemaal.
Het is leuk, want we gaan hopelijk met 500 Nederlanders, hebben zich al heel veel aangemeld, in verband met de 500ste uitzending, die is in november, gaan we hopen met 500 mensen naar Amerika te gaan.
Zo, kijk, leuk, dat is geweldig.
Ja, en een speciale zondag met de dominee Schurer en Anthony Schurer. En we hadden ook het plannetje opgevoerd om allemaal bij jou langs te komen.
We zitten wel iets ver van je vandaan. Oh. Maar het zou heerlijk te zijn of iedereen langs zou komen.
Ja. Dat je ook zo mooi zo als je zo kostelijk Amerikaans-Nederlands spreekt. Dat is zo. Ja, dat is prachtig.
Ja.
Ik wil afsluiten, want we zouden uren door kunnen praten. Maar wat betekent God voor jou in je leven? Wat heb je met hem ontdekt?
Vrijheid. Vrijheid in het leven. Dat je met andere mensen kan delen. Met blijdschap, liefde. En vrijheid van zonde, vrijheid van problemen. De problemen zijn er nog, maar ze worden anders. En vrijheid dat je jezelf echt kan zijn. En je kan mooi zijn zoals God je heeft gemaakt.
Ja. Wat wil je bereiken in je leven?
Ik hoop te bereiken om met zoveel mogelijk mensen te delen. De vrijheid in Christus die ik heb gevonden. En de liefde die ik heb gevonden. Om vrij te leven en met blijdschap en liefde in het leven door te gaan.
Volgens mij lukt dat helemaal. Ontzettend leuk dat je hier was. Ik wil je echt bedanken.
Hartelijk
dat je, want je bent speciaal voor deze uitzending overgekomen uit Amerika. Hè?
Ja, en het was het 100% waard om terug in Nederland te zijn.
Geweldig om je te ontmoeten.
En ik heb nog een klein cadeautje voor je.
Oh ja?
Dit is dus over mijn eigen levensverhaal van de bulimia. Dat ik hertrouwd ben en wat God in mijn leven heeft gedaan. Dat wou ik graag met je delen.
Droom en droom. Ik ga er zeker naar kijken. Mm-hmm. Ik droom ook vaak en dan hoop ik dat het uitkomt.
Oké. Okay.
Maar... En ik heb nog wat voor jou ook.
Oh.
My Journey, in het Engels, het levensverhaal van dominee Schurer.
Oh, dankjewel. Leuk, ik kijk ernaar uit om het terug in het vliegtuig te gaan lezen.
Goed zo. Barb, ik heb ook nog wat voor je moeder. Dat is een... Kijk eens, mooi hè?
Oh, het is beeldschoon.
Ja.
Dank je.
Heel hartelijk bedankt dat je hier nogmaals, dat je hier was. En een goede reis terug naar Californië, waar ook de Crystal Cathedral staat. En dan gaan we natuurlijk nu snel heen. En het orgel, begeleid door een hobo, of andersom, hobo begeleid door het orgel, speelt een zeer bekend lied. Het is het bekende What a Friend We Have in Jesus, oftewel Welk een Vriend is Onze Jezus.
I want to do something really interesting. This is an experiment. I want to find out how many people can hear me without the microphone. So turn the mic off right now. If you can hear me, would you raise your hand? Okay, quite a few. I'm impressed. If you can hear me, raise your hand. It's pretty good. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Not bad. It is doable. Okay, would you turn the mic back on, please? That is a very interesting thing. Now, there's a reason I did that. We'll come back to that. But right now, I want to go a different direction, and that is I want to talk a little bit about my dad. Some of you may know my father. Anyone here ever heard of my father? His name is Dr. Robert Harold Schuller. But one of the things I learned from him, and I think he wrote this, I was raised under his teaching, so I heard all kinds of statements and slogans which helped me through life. And I have a hard time distinguishing what he wrote and what he didn't write. So for me, he wrote them all. And so one of the ones that I think he wrote, and I'm pretty sure he did, is this. Anybody can count the seeds in an apple. Anyone can do it. I can take this apple apart and we can pull out all the seeds and we can count every single one in here. Anyone can count the seeds in an apple. But only God can count the apples in a seed. What is the power of a seed? Have you ever stopped to think about the power of a seed? It is a living thing. It's literally a living thing with the capability and the opportunities to hibernate for centuries. And all of a sudden, in the right condition, it blossoms and it grows into God only knows what, unless you know what kind of a seed it is. And then you can discover the power within a seed. Seeds grow. They have life. Now, it's been said that if you take one of the seeds that were discovered in Tutankhamun's grave, the Egyptian pharaoh, you've probably seen some of his treasures. If you go to Egypt, you will for sure see Tutankhamun's treasures. And you can see the seeds that they found there in his tomb. They claim that if you take one of those seeds and plant it to this day, they'll grow. Did you know that the country of Norway has established a seed bank? And what they've done is they've established this seed bank in Antarctica. And what they're doing is they're collecting seed from all around the world. And they're putting it in this, they're freezing it, and they're preserving seeds just in case some catastrophe comes along, and plants that we want and seeds that we want to develop in the future, if they're suddenly lost in a catastrophe or some other manner, can be regenerated. They'll just simply take them out of the freezer, and they'll cultivate them, and they'll grow. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely an amazing thing. Jesus told a parable. He said the kingdom of God is like a farmer who took a mustard seed and he planted it and it grew and it became the largest herb in the entire garden and the birds of the air came and they nested in it. And that's the parable. What an amazing concept. Inside that little mustard seed. Jesus refers to the mustard seed a lot. And the reason he refers to the mustard seed is that's considered the smallest seed in the garden. If you take all the seeds that they would plant in the time of Christ, the smallest one they would find is the mustard seed. I have one of our old mustard seed necklaces. It's small, but contained within this seed, in a concentrated form, are all of the roots that will sink down deep into the soil and extract the nutrients from the earth. Contained within the seed in a concentrated form are all of the branches of this mustard tree, which will reach heights of up to 15 feet. And contained within this mustard seed in a concentrated form is all of the sap that will run through those branches and bring forth life to the leaves. And contained within this mustard seed are all of the blossoms that those branches and those leaves will produce. And contained within the seed is a number of seeds that only God can count. Only God can count it. And the kingdom of God is like the farmer who went out and planted the seed. What I'm asking today is how many of us have planted the seed of the faith of Jesus Christ into the hearts of our children and our grandchildren. And we look at what is concentrated in that tiny little seed, and it is absolutely nothing compared to the spiritual value of the seed of the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we plant the gospel message of the grace of Jesus Christ into the hearts and the minds of our children, what comes out? What roots sink down into their heart, into the soul of their being? And what branches suddenly start to blossom? Only God can count the fruit that is born from one soul. A young man at the age of 15 was walking through the streets of London, and the snow started to come down. And to get out of the snow, because he couldn't make it home, he decided to jump into this little church on a Sunday morning. And the pastor wasn't there that Sunday morning. He couldn't get to church because of the snow. And in fact, there weren't too many people in church that day because of the snow. And one of the elders of the church stood up and gave a message, and he didn't know what to say. He wasn't a preacher. He didn't have anything prepared, so he just opened the Bible, and he started reading whatever opened it up to, and he actually read Isaiah 45:22, which says, "Look into me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." This young man heard those words. And for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, those words penetrated his heart, and it changed his life completely. He was totally smitten, completely, totally enveloped. And to tell you what took place in his life, 4 years later, at the age of 19, he was called to the largest Baptist church in all of London, England. And he accepted that call, and he started preaching. And crowds came by the thousands to hear him preach. On October 7th, 1857, he stood inside the Crystal Palace. It was a building that was built for the World's Fair in London. It was one of the first buildings constructed of iron and glass. It was all iron, it was all glass. And he spoke to over 23,000 people. 23,000! Now, to tell you, and he spoke for an hour or so, To tell you the significance of that, there was no such thing as sound amplification in 1857. He did that without a microphone, without speakers, without the aid of anything whatsoever, except his own voice, and he spoke. They ultimately built the church. Sat almost 6,000 people. Many of you know his name. His name is Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers the world has ever heard. Charles Spurgeon. God used a layman, somebody who wasn't skilled in preaching. God used somebody who just opened the Bible and read a word, and the words to me don't mean that much, but they meant something to him that was the seed that was intended for him to receive the news he needed to hear. And that's often the way seeds work. What happens? When we plant a seed of faith in the hearts and minds of our children, our grandchildren. Today my heart cries for the young people who have never heard what Jesus Christ is all about. I was raised, my earliest memories are sitting in the Orange Drive-In Theater around a picnic bench, and what I would do is I would color different scenes of the Bible. That was my earliest memories, and they'd tell us the stories of the Bible. Of Jesus caring for people. But I can't begin to tell you how many people in my generation, boomers today, who have said, you know, I just don't think I should tell my children what to believe. I'm going to let them grow up and make their own decisions and discover, you know, the religion on their own. How many people have heard somebody say that? It is such a common practice today. I have a vacant lot next to my house. Do you know what grows in that vacant lot? Weeds. Nothing but weeds. Every year, a crew comes sent out by the owner, and he doesn't personally do it, but they come out with a truck, and they scrape all the weeds up, and they throw it in the truck, and they take them off to be burned or put in the landfill or something. And what happens the next day? The weeds start growing back. The next year, he's back there again cleaning his field out. Every single year, it's the same story. We question, why are young people today have weeds growing in their minds and their hearts and their souls? We wonder why kids are going and shooting kids in school. We wonder why kids are strung out on dope and drugs, why people are become alcoholics, why they're so obsessed with sex and with other malformities in our life. And yet we've simply let this field, the spiritual field, vacant for them to let whatever grows, grows. And what's going to grow if we don't plant the good news of Jesus Christ in the heart? It's going to be a field full of weeds. That's what's going to happen. Just a field full of weeds. That's what we're left with. Last night I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I was there for a conference, and I was there with our executive pastor, Jim Poit. We sat down to get a bite to eat in the airport, and another family came and sat next to us. The woman turns over and she goes, "I know you." And I said, "Hi, I'm Robert Schuller." She goes, "Oh, yeah, of course, you're Robert Schuller. I know you." And she said, she pointed out that she and her brother and apparently her other sisters were on their way to their mother's funeral. Their mother had passed away. And with that, she said, you know, she's in a better place. And her brother jokingly says, "Well, that's better than us. We're all going to hell." And she says, "Wait a minute, speak for yourself. I'm not going to hell." And I said, "Well, you know what?" And he says, "Well, I am." And I said, "You know what? You don't have to if you don't want to. I know how to. I've got something for you." And I went to grab one of my tickets to heaven, and I'd given them all away. The only one I have is the one with my signature on it, and that one doesn't do anybody any good except me. You have to have your own ticket to heaven. And I'm not talking about this little piece of plastic. This is just a tool. You know, that's all this is. But what the tool does is it helps us plant the seed. And I want to encourage you to plant some seeds today. Today I beg you, fulfill your obligation to Jesus Christ and to share his good news with somebody. Doesn't matter who, with somebody. Let them know that there is another answer, that there is another way, that God is here today to change lives. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: the humans can never rival the divine, for it lacks the fire of life. You can take a seed, or you can take a little piece of wood or a piece of wax, and you could make a fake seed. And you could plant something that looks identical. Made out of plastic, wax, wood, you name it, but it looks identical to a real seed. And you plant it, and absolutely nothing will happen. Isn't that amazing? Nothing will happen. On the other hand, you take the real seed and you plant it, and all of a sudden the miracle of life explodes. That's the difference between human teaching and divine reality. How many people's lives have ever been saved through the discovery of Socrates and Confucius and Kant? Think about it. How many people's lives have ever been changed with that? On the other hand, think about the lives that have been changed with the good news of Jesus Christ. How many alcoholics are dry today because of Jesus Christ? How many drug addicts are clean today because of Jesus Christ? How many marriages are saved because of Jesus Christ? How many families have been revived today because of Jesus Christ? The truth of the gospel is real. It sends its roots deep within our souls and into our environment and in our culture. And it develops a living plant that becomes productive. And it says in the parable, the birds of the air come and they find their rests in its branches. I don't know about you, but I have birds that visit my backyard. Lots of them. And the way I know I have lots of birds in my backyard is I hear them sing. And when the birds come and you can hear the birds sing, it is the good news of Jesus Christ that we hear proclaimed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I want to ask you to help me plant seed today. I want to ask you to plant a seed somewhere in the world today. I want to ask you to write in and get tickets to heaven and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that people were able to sign these, hang on to them, and know without question that they're not going to hell, they're going to heaven. Because Jesus died for you, he died for me, and he died for every single human being on planet Earth. He died that we can overcome our addictions. He died that we can overcome our failures. He died that we can overcome our lack of self-esteem. He died that we can experience life and experience to the max. That's what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. If you want to help me spread the good news of Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to stand and make a commitment right now. Will you please help me share the good news of Jesus Christ? Wherever you are, if you want to help me, will you please stand? stand and say, I want to help and share the good news of Jesus Christ and plant seed. Plant a seed somewhere. I will do everything in my power to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Dead serious. Because we have seeds to plant. There are young people who've grown up who have never heard who Jesus Christ is. That's tragic. And you're all standing, so together we're a team. We're going to make a difference. We're going to plant seed here, there. We're going to plant seed in our communities. We're going to plant seed where we work. We're going to plant seed in Africa. We're going to plant seed in China. We're going to plant seed every corner of this globe. One way, shape, or form or another, we're going to do it. And those seeds are going to come back to life. And someday, some way, at the right time, at the right moment, those seeds will explode into life because it is divine. It is divine. And you have participated in a divine action. And so we pray, O God, that as you use us today for a divine intervention, to plant seeds in barren soil, that the seeds we plant will have an impact. That everything we do will be glorify you. And that lives will be changed. Souls will be revived. The world will become different. And so we thank you, Lord, for the music we can sing. Amazing grace. How sweet that sound. Amen. With that, let me give you a closing benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit allow His seeds to penetrate your mind and send their roots deep, that you might harvest the love of Jesus Christ all you meet, today and forever. Amen.
Wat een geweldige actie te zien op 300 NS-stations over heel Nederland. En deze vraag, ik heb het al in het programma verteld, liefde nodig. En heel veel mensen hebben daarop gereageerd. Die waren verrast, verbaasd. Je hebt het gehoord. En wat is dat nou, liefde? In de Bijbel staat één heel korte tekst. God is liefde. En hij is de bron. En als je dat ontdekt hebt, dan kan het niet meer stuk. Dan heb je de liefde ontdekt die je nodig hebt. Naast de liefde die je gewoon van mensen krijgt. Want dat is natuurlijk ook ongelooflijk belangrijk. Het is vandaag dodenherdenking. En als ik het over woord liefde heb, dan denk ik ook aan al die mensen die hun leven hebben gegeven. En zoveel liefde hebben betoond voor anderen om onze vrijheid te bevechten. Goed moment om daarbij stil te staan, ook vanavond als we een minuut stilte hebben. En dan volgende week hopen we weer te zijn, dan is het Pinksteren. We hebben een bijzondere gast, dat is de jonge wethouder van Rotterdam, Leonard Geluk, die in zijn portefeuille jeugd, gezin en onderwijs heeft en heel veel doet om Rotterdam leefbaarder te maken, ook vanuit en gedreven vanuit zijn geloof. Nou, een heleboel gezegd en gehoord en gezien in Hour of Power. We vinden het geweldig dat we 2 uur mogen uitzenden. Geweldig dat we zoveel positieve reacties krijgen. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag toe. PS, ik had het bijna vergeten. Heb je de liefdestest al gedaan? Dat zijn hele belangrijke vragen die je laten zien hoe jij tegenover de liefde staat. Kijk op www.liefdenodig.nl. En misschien ben je verbaasd. www.liefdenodig.nl bij Hour of Power.